need to handle you. If you would turn in your Bible for a moment, Mark chapter 5. Since my wife said I spoke too long, I'll try and not keep you too long tonight. Here was a man that was a maniac. He was demon-possessed. He had 2,000 demons inside of him. Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee, and he came into the country of the Gadareans, and he met a man when he came out of the ship. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, bless this message, use it for God's glory and God's honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says when he was come out, you know, Jesus left the portals of heaven one day. He came down to this earth. He slipped off the royal diadem. He took off the ring of power. Took off the shoes of sonship. Came to this earth as a root out of dry ground to help me and you know what eternal life was. He came out of all the glory of heaven and took on himself the form of a servant to die on an old rugged cross that was a curse for me and you. And my friends, what we need to do the same thing as many others have done, come out and meet him. We need to meet the Lord. Let him give unto you that wonderful, wonderful gift that he brings with him. In Matthew chapter 12, oh, I'm sorry, chapter 9, have you ever written down and sometimes you can't even read what you write down yourself? I had asked my wife, I made notes in my Bible. If you ever seen my Bible, you'd think it died and bled to death. But I asked her for a magnifying glass the other day so I could read what I wrote down. But I put little notes in the sides and it's all red. And like I said, it looked like it bled to death. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 and 13, he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 15, it says that there was a man. There was a man. And he had a son. You know him as the prodigal son. But before that, there was a parable of lost sheep. He went looking after one sheep that had gone astray. There were 99 that needed no looking after. We can be self-righteous, but my friend, let me tell you something. We will never, never get to heaven on our own righteousness. Because our righteousness is but filthy rags and they stench in the nostrils of God. This man met Jesus and you know he never was the same again. And if you meet Jesus, you will never be the same again also. But he said he met him coming out of the tombs. We see a lot of times advertised on television these zombies. You ever realize you were living among zombies? For in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Until we got saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead while we lived. But when we got, when Jesus found us, I don't like to say when we found Jesus, he never was lost, we were. But it says, when Jesus found us, he quickened us. He made us alive. When we're living in this world and we don't have Jesus, we're living, in a sense, amongst the tombs, dead people. But this man had an unclean spirit. And until you get the Holy Spirit, you're going to live with an unclean spirit. You will do what the flesh wants you to do. You will do in accordance to the imagination of your own heart. That's an unclean spirit. And the Bible tells us that when he comes in, he brings the Holy Spirit. He brings a spirit that is right. Now, when David sinned with Bathsheba, his spirit was, what you might say, tied up. Why? Because he could not serve the Lord any longer with his body and with his spirit in a state of uncleanness. In Psalm 51, the Bible tells us in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now, this man in the tombs, he dwelt among the tombs. No man could bind him. They tried and tried, but there was no way that she could get him tied down to where he would not break the chains. He would break the fetters. And Titus 3:3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But then one day, kindness stepped off of a boat and saved this man that was among the dead. The world tried to hold him down. I mean, you could put him in prison. You could do whatever it took trying to bring him down. But there was no way that you could. Every time they would take him, he would just pop them because there was no way. Look at Ecclesiastes 6, 1 and 2. "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity and an evil disease." So we see here that God says, you may have all that you need. Solomon had maidservants, men servants. He had every bit of 700 and some wives. But the thing about it, Solomon turned his back on God. Why? Because of those idolatrous women that he was taking into the fold. We see back that God told them, don't gain horses, don't gain women of the around you. God was a God of segregation. He did not believe in marrying out of your own tribe. You had to marry in that tribe, because if you didn't, then you wouldn't be accepted. But in Mark 5 here, it says that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And my friends, the riches of this world and the things of this world can bind you to the point that you cannot enjoy the blessings of the Lord. The chains had been plucked asunder by him. The fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Oh, you can go to a psychiatrist, you can go to this one, you can go to that one. But let me tell you something, friend. There's nothing that soothes the soul more than Jesus. In Psalm 97, we'll have it here in a minute. Like I said, sometimes I can't even read my own writing. He says, now, Lord, what wait I? My hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. My friends, when we were lost and in this world, we were without God, we were without hope. But now we have the blessed hope. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope in the tabernacle, the walls that stood straight up on the sides had a rod running through it. And that same thing is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What holds us up? The rod of hope of Jesus Christ. But no man could tame him. He went from the lowest into the mountains into the, he went from the highest in the mountains to the lowest in the tombs. He was crying. Sometimes we cry because of the world and the way it treats us. Sometimes we're sorrowful, like we're talking about Brother Donald Mahan. He's in despair, depressed. My friend, the world can get you down like that and makes you want to just cry. But something else we need to do, realize, in crying too. The Bible says, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed, a weeping will doubtless come again, bringing sheaves with him. You're never going to see anyone saved, anyone led to Christ, until you can shed a few tears. We've got to have a burden for lost souls. Isaiah 57. This man was cutting himself. Brother, do you have a cup of water? This man was cutting himself. This was when they was up on Mount Carmel. And they were having a battle to find out who was the greatest. And he said, serve ye today the gods of this world, or the Jehovah God? But the Bible says that nothing done it any good. They were cutting themselves. Thank you, brother. They were cutting themselves. You know, if you don't have Jesus, you would gladly have a drop from the fingertip to quench your thirst. Good old water, praise God. But it says that they were cutting themselves with stone. Have you seen the ones over in the Middle East while they're taking, beat themselves over the back trying to serve God? They'll cut themselves. God don't want sacrifice. He wants obedience. To trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sacrifice he's not satisfied with. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, today is the day of salvation, the anointed time. Anytime we feel the wooing of the Holy Spirit, we need to bow down before God and give our life and our soul and our heart to him. Whether we're on the mountaintop or down in the valley, we need to always look for the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. Everything is not going to be on the mountaintop. We're going to go through valleys at times, but he's always there. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way. But he saw someone. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. And seeing Jesus, and when he came to him, it said, how many hired servants does a man have? They have bread enough to spare. The prodigal son, when he got through squandering all of his goods, he happened to remember that the father had everything. And he took and said, I'm going to go back to the father. He's got plenty of bread to spare. And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But yet when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Notice. The father ran to him. He kissed him. Said, go kill the fatted calf. He kissed him. Notice verse 21 of Luke 15. He said, son said unto him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. When we sin against heaven. Psalm 51, David says, I have sinned against thee and thee only. We not only sin against our fellow man, but we sin most of all to God. When we turn and want to go our own pernicious way. But when he saw Jesus, Psalm 95, verses 3 and 7, For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. My friend, when you see Jesus, you know that there is power to bring you out and put you in the pasture that God has made for you. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, but come to Jesus. And this man saw Jesus, and he ran and worshiped him. Here was a man out of his mind. They couldn't bind him with fetters. They couldn't bind him with chains. Out of his mind. But when he saw Jesus, he knew who he was. And he came and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God?" The devils out of hell that was inside this man, they knew Jesus. You can't get mankind to recognize Jesus as the Son of God. But here he says, "Thou Son of the Most High God." Even the demons out of hell, they know who Jesus is. Isn't that a bad, sad commentary to mankind? That the demons out of hell know who Jesus is. But we got a golden Muslim temple over yonder, sitting on the mount there in Jerusalem. And across the top, it says, "There is no Son of God." What a shame. Those people are deluded. But in verse 24 of Mark chapter 1, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." They knew that he was the Holy One. And they cried, "Please, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." They knew where all the power in heaven and earth was. And they knew that this Jesus could send them back to the abyss and torture them there for time and eternity. And they said, "If you make us come out of this man, please don't send us back to the abyss. Don't send us in torment." Jesus said, "Come out of this man, thou unclean spirit." Jesus could command the unclean spirits to come out. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And the Bible tells us that a legion is 2,000 soldiers. 6,000 soldiers. It could be up as many as 6. Can you imagine a man having 6,000 demons living within him? No wonder he cut himself. No wonder he was naked running through the tombs. How many demons do we have today? Summertime's here. Of course, I know most of you ladies probably won't be, but they'll strip off naked. Short shorts and everything else. That means they got demons within them. Let me ask you something. What does a person in Israel wear? And it's hot. They wear a robe from the head, from the neck, down to their feet. Why? Because that robe keeps the sunshine from shining on them and giving them skin cancers. Well, what does that do? It makes you sweat. What is sweat? That's the natural way that the body cools itself off. And yet we want to strip ourselves, and when we get 45, 50 years old after running around naked all this time, we swivel up like an old prune. Because we've taken all the moisture out of the skin. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" "My name is Legion." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And as you remember, the Jewish people were forbidden to eat swine. It was a forbidden animal until Peter come along and seen the sheep come down from heaven and that everything was clean by prayer and the reading of the Bible. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." You notice the demons out of hell had to ask permission to go into the swine. They couldn't do anything unless. You remember Job? You remember they said, devil said, "Let me have him." God said, "Well, you can take everything he's had, but don't touch him." He says, "I can't. You've got a hedge around it. You ever thought about it? You got a hedge around you. And the devil can't touch you unless the Lord permits it." Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were by the Sea of Galilee there. They were about 2,000. That's why I got to 2,000. It was 2,000 swine, so it must have been 2,000 unclean spirits. And they choked in the sea. I've got a sermon sometimes that I've preached on. You may get what you want, but you may not want what you get. And these, they went into the swine and they thought they was going to have a body to possess and they wouldn't have to go back to the abyss. But the swine, when they got them in there, they got violent and ran down into the sea. Those that were in the city that fed the swine, they went out to see what in the world was going on. And they came to Jesus and saw him. They also saw the man that was possessed with these 2,000 demons, sitting. Now I don't want you to notice, he was running up in the mountains. He was running down through the valleys. He was running because he couldn't be tamed. What happened? Praise God. He might have been naked, but when he met Jesus, he got clothed from head to toe. And when the people of this world, instead of stripping off in the summertime, will dress themselves appropriately, then, my friends, you'll know that Jesus abides within. I can't understand these women, men, whatever else, how they say, "Oh, how we love Jesus," and then dress and look like the world. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. And if we're going to dress like the world, what does the world see in us? We look like them. In a lot of cases, we talk like them. We walk like them. Well, it's Jesus. Sometimes the only Bible that the world is going to read is your life. And you've got to show Jesus in your life before they're going to want the same Savior and Redeemer that you want or have. But it was clothed, sitting. Notice he won't running about all over the place. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and I'll give you rest for your soul. They were in their right mind. They were afraid. And when they saw it, they told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and concerning the swine. And they began to pray. They began to pray. You know, sometimes the only time we ever pray is when something goes wrong. Let me ask you something. You ladies, probably most of you have all been married. Let me ask you something. If your wife never told you that she loved you, or your husband never told you that he loved you, would you believe that he loved you? That's right. We need to tell Jesus that we love him. I go to bed every night, Jesus, I love you. God, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. You've got to tell him you love him. Not only by actions, but by words. Oh, how sweet our Lord and Savior is. But they began to pray. In other words, plead with him. That's what prayer is, pleading with the Lord. But they were pleading with Jesus to leave that coast. They thought more of pigs than they did that Gadarene maniac. And you know, sometimes we get caught up in the things of this world and we think more of the world than we do of other people getting so saved. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to have a vision for lost souls and go out there. I've been to them 15 times, we'll make it 16. Keep on keeping on. God didn't promise it's going to be easy, but he did promise that if we're faithful, he would be faithful also. It goes on to say, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. See, one prayer from the people that owned the swine wanted Jesus to get out of the coast. They done took away their livelihood. They didn't want to see him no more. But the Gadarene maniac that the 2,000 demons had gone out of, what happened? He prayed that he might stay with Jesus. When you love Jesus, back in those days, if you were working for a master and you loved that master and you wanted to stay with that master, you would take the mark. What you would do is you would go up and say, Master, I want to be your servant from now on. And that's why Paul called himself a bond servant. What did that mean? They would take their ear up next to the doorpost and they would run an awl through it. That's the reason Paul said, I buried my body, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. From then on, you would be that bondservant that would serve that master. But he prayed that he might be with him. And Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. There's a work that needs to be done. Don't sit on the idle pew, but go out, go home to thy friends and tell them how great the things the Lord hath done for thee. I've heard people say, well, I can't witness. What do you got to do to witness? Tell people what God has done for you, and he can do the same thing for them. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Thank God for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that he saw fit one day to save you. Think about something. Out of all the millions of people in this world today, God chose you. God chose you out of all of them. It should humble us that God reached down and saw something that we didn't see and reached way down out of glory and picked you up and set you on a solid rock and put a song in your mouth. It ought to humble us that God would do such a thing to an unworthy ball of clay such as we. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is so loving and caring? Every one of us ought to get down and thank him every day. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me out of hell. Thank you for just giving me all the good and perfect things that come down from your Father above. Oh, how wonderful you are, my Lord. Thank you. Brother Bill, I'm going to turn it over to you.
I'm going to try to go down and step through the door.
That's a good message, Richard. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. We love y'all.
Appreciate you coming.